Before we open God's word, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence joyful and hungering and thirsting after thy words of life, Lord, knowing that we receive blessings therefrom, and they are rich blessings, and they are eternal blessings, and we give thee the thanks for that. And so, Father, for what thou wilt give in this evening hour, we would give thee our thanksgiving even ahead of time, and praise thee for the things, Lord, that thou dost do. Thou art a marvelous God, wonderful, and we marvel at thy works and the things, Lord, which thou dost do. Help us that we would continually have awe toward thee and glorify thy name, for we pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. That's page 266 in the Pew Bible. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do to thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them. And behold, they are hid in the tent, in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him great heaps of stone unto this day. So the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. He who inhabits eternity said that we cannot serve God and mammon. That is impossible to do. And when Jesus had spoken those words, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. If we can just imagine how pitiful that looks, that these men who thought of themselves as prideful, who had pride in their hearts and who thought of themselves highly, these Pharisees, that they were deriding the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They were ridiculing him. They made fun of him. They were covetous. And Jesus responds to them saying, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Very important words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he brought forth from the Father on high. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Last Sunday we read where Jesus says, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Our life, the things that we possess, shouldn't define as to who we are. Neither is it important of how much we have. That's not important to our Lord. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And Jesus then went on to give that parable of the man that tore down his barns and built greater ones. And he was teaching the importance of not trusting in riches. Not trusting in riches. And tonight I'd like to speak of not putting our treasure in riches. Jesus clearly teaches us that those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. They have no value. They are not important. And we are not to crave after them, strongly crave after them, nor to lust after them. Children of Israel were given 10 commandments. And the last commandment that was given to them, the 10th, says, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We are not to covet what it doesn't belong to us. We are not to strongly crave those things which God didn't see a value to have in our lives. We are to leave those things and to crave those things which are spiritual, which have eternal value in following the Lord and in serving Him. So the Bible says that that those things that are written in the old time afore were for our examples, that we would learn from them, that we would not lust after the things which they lusted after. And here is a classic example of a very beautiful example of how we are not to covet as Achan coveted, and how the great destruction that came about because of his actions. So we're picking up the timeline in history where the children of Israel have left Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, they've made their way through the wilderness, and they've come now across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And they have their first battle. The first city that they come to as they come across the Jordan River is Jericho. And God, not the children of Israel, God miraculously defeats the city of Jericho. And God had some thoughts about Jericho. God says in the previous chapter that the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. The city of Jericho was accursed to the Lord and everything that was in it. He says further, and ye keep yourselves from the accursed thing, from anything in that city of Jericho. Keep yourselves from that accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. So when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Instruction was clearly given to them. You're going in that city and you're going to destroy it. Everything's going to be destroyed. There were going to be some things of value that were going to be put into the treasury, but it wasn't for any individual. And yet Achan disobeyed, and he brought the accursed thing upon himself. But clearly the Bible is saying here that he not only brought the accursed thing upon himself, but he brought it upon all the children of Israel. So we read here in the first verse of chapter 7, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Note that it says the children of Israel, not specifically Achan, but the children of Israel committed a trespass against the accursed thing. For Achan, who was the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. The anger of the Lord wasn't just kindled against Achan, but it was kindled against the entire children of Israel, all of them. And yet it was unbeknownst to most everybody in the camp of Israel. And so they've completed their first battle. They were very victorious against Jericho. And now they're going to their next city that they're coming into, and it's Ai. And it's just a small city, and Joshua sends some people to spy it out. The spies come back, and they says, it's just a small city, about 2,000 or 3,000 men are all that's necessary to win the battle against this small city. So 3,000 men go in, and they go against the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smite the children of Israel, and 36 men died. 36 men died in this battle. Why? Because the children of Israel, specifically Achan, took of the accursed thing. And so Joshua rends his clothes, falls upon the earth before the ark of the Lord with the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua makes a plea to the Lord God and says, it would have just been better if we would have just stayed on the other side, Jordan. And now look, we're running before our enemies, and the Canaanites and everyone else who dwells on this side of Jordan are going to hear about this, and our name's going to be cut off. And what, Lord, are you going to do about your great name? And the Lord responds to Joshua saying, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? The Lord had something to say to Joshua. Truly, it was a beautiful thing that that Joshua and the elders of the land had humbled themselves before the Lord in this event that had happened in their defeat of the men of Ai. And so the Lord is now responding to Joshua, and this is the message. He says, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and dissembled them also and have put it even among their own stuff." Again, the Lord's saying, this is all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive of you children of Israel. And he says, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand against their enemies, but turned their backs toward their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you." He's saying, you're accursed. That's why you were defeated. And you will continually be defeated unless you put away that accursed thing from among you. And so sanctify yourselves and bring all the tribes, the families, and the households before me, and I will take from among them. And he who is taken from among them shall be burnt with fire, and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. When the Lord commands, his words are true and they're faithful, and they are not to be challenged. They are not to be trifled with. We are not to go against the covenant of the Lord which he makes. And so it is that early in the next morning, right away, Joshua takes action. And so he gets all the children of Israel together, and the Lord takes the tribe of Judah, and then he takes the family of the Zerahites and the household of Zabdi, and finally gets down to Achan. Gets down to Achan, the son of Carmi, and he was taken. And so Joshua knows with certainty that the Lord had defined who this person was. And it was Achan. And so Joshua says to Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." It was very important that now the time of confession and the time of information would be brought forth. And so Achan answers responsibly and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." He said, when I saw. He's in Jericho, and he sees something. He sees something. And that's the beginning part of coveting, is something that we see. And then it comes to coveting. So he says, "When I saw among the spoils the goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them." He coveted them at that point. When he saw that there, he saw everything being destroyed, but yet he sees a garment and some silver and a wedge of gold, and he wants that, and he desires that, and he stole it. Even as the Lord God said to Joshua, it was stolen and it was dissembled also and put among their own stuff. And so he says that he hid it in his tent, and so Joshua sends some messengers to go retrieve it, and they go retrieve it, and something interesting happens in that it's laid out. This Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, 50 shekels by weight, it's all laid out before the children of Israel. It's all laid out before Joshua. It's all laid out before the elders of the land. And everyone can see it. And they're saying, "This is the accursed thing. This is the accursed thing." And Joshua says, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And after the children of Israel did that to Achan and all that he has, the Bible says that then the anger of the Lord was pacified. The accursed thing was put away from them. So sad that it took that such a thing would happen to Achan and to all that he has. And so we see then truths coming out of the scriptures. So when we read a verse such as 1 Timothy 6:10, where it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." We know that scripture to be true. We know that there are many sorrows when we covet it after the after money, and having that love of it, we pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. And that was played out there in Joshua 7. It was played out in Achan's family. I'd like to step through some scriptures, so I ask for your patience as I turn to them. Proverbs 15:27 says, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Again, we look at that proverb, we know it to be true. But when you see what happened to Achan, how he troubled his own house, how his sons, his daughters, his all his beasts, his all his possessions were destroyed. How sad that is. "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Those who covet after money and that love of have that love of money pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So sad it is to partake of the accursed thing and to forget the truth of he who inhabits eternity has said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Colossians 3:5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Mortify it. Put it away. Put it to death. More than put it away. Put it to death. Put these things to death. Covetousness. It's idolatry. It's evil. "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." Again, we could see that those things which were in Jericho were accursed unto the Lord. They were accursed. And God thinks of those things which are highly esteemed among men to be an abomination. Abomination unto God. And so the Bible here is saying then, "Those for which sake things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." Shall the child of God lust for, strongly crave, covet the things of this life? Shall we partake in these things? Think of what the Lord has given unto us. We have unsearchable riches in Christ. Unsearchable riches. The riches that we have in Christ cannot be found out. It cannot be numbered. Achan's pieces of silver were numbered. There was 200 shekels of silver there. The weight of the gold that Achan had could be measured. But here in the scriptures we see the unsearchable riches that we have in Christ. Paul says to the Philippians, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God has riches, riches in glory that will supply our every need. Shall we covet? Shall we strongly crave the things of this life? Oh, the good things that God has for us, and we are not to covet. We are not to partake of the accursed thing. We are not to value highly those things which men value highly. But to know that they are an abomination in the sight of God. So what are we to do? The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So again, we're not to trust in riches, as we heard last Sunday. We're not to trust in riches. Neither are we to put treasure in riches either. And again, I'm speaking this message to myself first. We are to labor. We are partakers of the unsearchable riches of Christ, and God, who will supply all of our needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so we are to labor with our hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. This is why we are to labor. Not to feed our cravings, our lusts, our covetousness. We are not to labor for that purpose. We are to labor to give to him that needeth. There's another proverb that speaks to this as well. Proverbs 25 says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long. The lazy man wants and wants, but he can't have it. He craves greedily all the day long, but he can't have it because he doesn't labor. But we are to labor in that which is good, and then give to those who have need. And the rest of that proverb says, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The righteous gives. The righteous doesn't hoard. The righteous doesn't want more and more for themselves. The righteous want to give and want to glorify the Lord and to please him well in all things. There's a beautiful hymn in the Zion's Harp that speaks as well to this. In hymn number 84, it says, second verse, earth and vain things, you bitter plagues of the soul, be gone. From far you seem to glitter, but who by you is won? For gems has empty baubles, meaningless things. For pearls, the sand of care, your wine is full of trouble, and poison taints your fare. What leads to heaven I treasure, and not what draws to earth. The world, its sinful pleasure, and all it holds of worth, I shun. What far all classes all these, I seek on high, to know that life surpasses earth's wisdom and earth's joy. It's been written that Samuel Froelich said that for this present world, with its lusts, enjoyments, and possessions, are expedient for fallen men only, not for the children of God. The name brand merchandise that this world craves for should not be a part of the child of God's life, neither his ambitions, neither his desires. We are to serve the Lord. We are to glorify his name. We are to please him well. And we are to do his will and set our affection on things above and not on things upon the earth. And again, Jesus spoke to these things in the Sermon on the Mount. These words here are very familiar to all of us. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our treasure? As a child of God, where is our treasure? Is it on the things of this earth? Can you imagine Achan's thought? Here it is. He's got some things that don't belong to him. He knows that they are accursed. They're under his tent. He hears a call early in the morning from Joshua, and the call says, "Everybody together." And he's probably thinking to himself, "Oh no, I think I just got found out." And all of a sudden, Joshua comes to him and directly says, "Achan, everything, speak it. Everything. Don't hide anything." And Achan's thinking at that point, certainly. Oh, wow. 36 men died because of my covetousness. Oh, wow. I have a Babylonish garment. I have 200 shekels of silver. I have a wedge of gold, 50 shekels by weight, and they mean nothing to me. They mean nothing to me. All of Israel had to pay a price because of my actions. Oh, the dread that he had. Could those things have had any value to him at that point? Shall a believer go through life coveting the things of this life, only to know in the end they are meaningless? They have no value. They are an abomination unto God. This is a challenge that we as Americans have. The name brand merchandise of this world should not have a place in our hearts. They should not. There should be no treasures in our hearts. But we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. The Apostle Peter shared wisdom as to where our heart should be and what our treasure should be after. He writes in the end of his second epistle, saying, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that Babylonish garment, the 200 shekels of silver, the wedge of gold that was 50 shekels by weight, the name brands of today, of all the merchandise that you can get on Amazon or the car dealerships or wherever it is, it's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to burn. There's not going to be any value past this life. And even in this life, it doesn't have much value." And he says, "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God?" This is what we should be looking for. Not for the next trinket. Not from the next order from Amazon. But we should be looking and hasting for the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. This is where our labors are. This is where our servant heart should be. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're yearning for. This is our desire. This is our craving. For the Lord's second coming, that we might be with him in all eternity. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent. Take painstaking effort. Don't give up. Persevere. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Amen.
If you're wondering how God views gold, silver, and the precious things of this world, Revelation tells us that gold is used as pavement. We'll walk on it. The noble treasures of our Lord is his Son. And his desire is for us to seek those that treasure, which, if you're also wondering, how can the death of one man, also God, atone for the sin of all mankind? Is because he was most valuable. He had the highest value, and he was of the highest price. And that noble treasure is what we should be seeking and desiring. I'm thankful for this message, pricking upon my heart as well, as we are so easily consumed in this materialistic society that we live in. This message may have been a difficult one to give in a poor country. But the end treasure is the same. It's Jesus Christ. The riches are the same. Riches in Jesus Christ. And the wealth is the same. Wealth of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If we have some sins that we are covering, this scripture that was read today tells us to confess it, to bring it to the light. You know, when you're in a dark room and you light a candle, you could see. When you're in a dark room and you turn on the light, you could see a little bit better. But have you ever had the sunlight coming through the window and you could see every speck of dust? God's asking us today to shine the light of Jesus Christ on our hearts, that we would not cover any sin, that all the sin that we have would come to be confessed, so that Satan would be put at an open shame. So let us allow the light of Jesus Christ, the true treasure, the true wealth, and the prize of mankind, and the prize of God bestowed upon us, who gave his life for us, to be our true riches and our true goal that we should search for. May the Lord bless this word and the message put forth this evening. Amen.